Hello.
And welcome.
It's the Graveyard Girls, a true crime and mysteries podcast.
Yes, and today's your case, but before we get into that, I should probably tell you how you can contact us all. So, if you'd like to, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under the Graveyard Girls Pod. Also on our Instagram page, you can send us a direct message, or if you'd like to email us, there is an email button, or you can go straight to your emails, and it is the graveyardgirlspod@gmail.com. Alternatively, if you don't want to do any of those, but you'd still like to contact us, or find out more about all of the strange things we do, you can find us at thegraveyardgirls.co.uk.
Yes.
A little nosy on the website. You can listen to all the episodes on the website if you'd like. You could also message us on there, and you can find links to our Patreon as well. And send us some money if you'd like to do that. I won't stop you, because we'd like a few spending pennies, so be very grateful if you could tip us over there. You can have three tiers to pick from over on Patreon. The first one will literally be support for the show. Then the second tier will unlock some bonus episodes, which we release one bonus episode every week. And then if you select the higher tier, you still get all of your bonus episodes. And we throw a t-shirt in as well, because we're that nice. And has absolutely nothing to do the fact that you've given us more money, so we feel like we should reward you. So yeah, if you want to go and listen to that, the bonus episode we do, a kind of a bit of everything else that we've not, that doesn't quite fit into true crime and mysteries, I think, isn't it? Yeah, it's all the other cases we kind of wanted to include, so there's quite a lot of science-y stuff, history, a lot of history on there at the moment. Folklore, a few myths. So if you want to go and listen to that sort of stuff, if you're not bored by this, then, or you take pity on us, either one. I don't mind which it is. Yeah, if you head over to our Patreon. We're also under the Graveyard Girls on that as well, if you want to go and have a little look. So yeah, I think that's every way you can stalk us and contact us.
I think so, yes.
So on that note,
you hate doing that bit, don't you?
Yeah, I really do, because I'm concentrating so hard thinking I've got to remember what they all are.
It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. I think it's easier to write and do the case. I thought the reading bit was hard, but
No, just trying to remember everything.
It's because I think I'm going to do it wrong. Like, is it .com or .co.uk?
I couldn't afford .com. So it's .co.uk. Okay.
Right, on that note, we should probably let you do your case.
I've got a true crime one for us today. Ooh. Now, in my notes, which I wrote back way back in like May or March, it said she served her boyfriend up on a barbecue.
Oh.
And then when I was actually researching the case, I couldn't find that story. So I don't know where I got that from.
Oh, you might have made that up in your head.
I may have made that up.
Oh, so you might not have a cannibal then.
Maybe not a cannibal. Definitely a murderer.
Okay.
Okay. So, born and raised in Maryville, Indiana, Kelly and Jason Cochran were high school sweethearts and even grew up next door to each other.
Okay.
Which is kind of sweet. They soon got married after high school, and I came across a story that said they had a pact to murder anyone that came between them.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if this was a genuine thing or someone just made it up after the fact.
Okay. Yeah.
Just to embellish the story. Mm-hmm. So Jason Cochran worked hard servicing swimming pools until his back gave out after 10 years of hard labor. So his wife ended up becoming the sole breadwinner of the couple, and debts soon began to pile up. The couple then moved to Caspian, Michigan in 2013. One of the reasons for the move was the fact that marijuana was legal and this would help Jason's chronic pain.
Okay.
So at Kelly's new job, she met Christopher Reagan, who was an Air Force veteran and Detroit native. He and Kelly soon bonded and then became lovers despite their 20-year age difference.
Okay.
Now, I am... had to like look their ages up because I was very confused who was the older one in this situation.
Oh, okay. She's not aged very well then.
She's not aged very well at all. No, she's 34 and he is 53.
Okay.
And yeah, she's had a little bit of a hard life.
Okay.
So yes. So Kelly was obviously married to Jason and Christopher had a girlfriend.
Okay.
So they were both cheating on someone.
Their partners, yeah.
So when Jason found out about her affair, he asked her one simple question. How would she make up for it?
Oh, okay. Is she going to murder him?
So according to reports, on October 13th, 2014, they came up with a plan. The next night, Kelly would lure Christopher to her home with the promise of sex, and Jason would kill him. The plan worked, and when Jason caught Christopher with his wife, he shot him in the head with a .22 caliber long barrel shotgun.
Okay, that's not what I was expecting.
And they were mid...
act.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, when he says, oh, how are you going to make it up? She's going to be like, I'm going to kill you. I thought she was going to kill Jason.
She may kill Jason.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I wasn't expecting Christopher. I thought she was going to kill him and then run off with that Christopher.
Moments later, Kelly was handing him a buzzsaw so he could dismember him.
Oh, I was going to say, what, did she just carry one round?
Neighbours heard a shot and then power tools. The Cochrans then divided up Christopher's body into garbage bags and then threw the bags into the woods around the Iron River in Michigan Upper Peninsula.
Right, okay.
Okay. So Terry O'Donnell, who is Christopher's girlfriend, reported him missing 10 days later.
Why did she wait 10 days?
I don't know. I thought that. I thought,
were they early in the relationship? They didn't see each other that much, maybe?
I don't know. There wasn't much information on that. But I thought maybe because, like, they're slightly older, maybe that's kind of normal. They don't see each other every single day.
I suppose she could maybe work away a bit.
Yeah, maybe. His car was found abandoned at a park and ride lot 4 miles east of Iron River. According to the local Daily News, police honed in on Cochran because she was the last person to see Christopher alive. And I also found a report that stated that there was a post-it note with directions to Kelly's house in his car.
Right, okay. So are they thinking that they've moved his car, or is that generally where he parked?
They moved the car.
Okay.
When police searched her home with the FBI in March 2015, they found nothing. They later questioned them separately. Kelly admitted to having an affair with Christopher, but claimed she and her husband had an open marriage.
Right, okay.
So there was nothing there. Jason, meanwhile, appeared rather aggravated at her infidelity. So there's a bit of thingy there. The case went cold, and an FBI search of their home in 2015 prompted them to flee to Indiana.
Right, okay.
So police continued their investigation with Kelly listed as a person of interest, but a year passed and they still had nothing. Then in February 2016, Jason died of a apparent heroin overdose.
Did he though?
So Kelly had held a memorial service, writing on Facebook that his death was, quote, the hardest thing I ever have to deal with.
And, yeah, is that quote, because you killed him though?
But police obviously weren't buying it. 9 weeks after Jason died, Michigan authorities charged Kelly with Christopher's death, and then she fled Indiana. The U.S. Marshal Services eventually tracked her down in Kentucky, where she was arrested on April 28th and then taken into custody. According to court documents, she spent her time in her jail cell, turning her glasses into shanks and threatening violence against anyone who'd go near her.
Oh, okay, so she's a really nice character here.
Oh, yeah.
She's really helping herself out, you know, that poor innocent widow.
Yeah. So, following her arrest, Cochran was interrogated by both Michigan and Indiana police for almost 70 hours.
Fucking hell.
According to the Northwest Indiana Post Tribune, she was able to direct investigators to a desolate stretch of Michigan woods where they discovered evidence of Christopher.
Right, okay.
Okay. So they found his...
So they didn't find his remains until, like, much later then. Right, okay.
They only found it because she guided them to where they were. They found his skull with a bullet hole in.
Right, okay. So they knew he definitely was shot.
Mm-hmm. So the police also recovered the .22 caliber rifle and the bullet and a pair of glasses at the scene.
Okay.
While Kelly was in custody, police also questioned her about the death of her husband. They had grown suspicious of her version of what happened the night Jason died because her story kept changing. Paramedics had been called to the house they shared in February, but the EMTs found Jason unresponsive and were unable to revive him. At first glance, it looked like he had died of a heroin overdose, but Indiana Lake County coroner discovered that Jason actually died from asphyxiation, not heroin.
Right, okay.
So they think she administered the heroin and then, like, basically held a pillow over his nose and throat.
So it couldn't breathe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then she admitted that.
See, she could have blamed the first death on him because he's dead. It's not like he can really say anything, is it?
Well, that's the thing. She is blaming him.
Right, okay.
She's like, oh, it was his idea.
Yeah, he was angry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in an interview with detectives in Indiana, Kelly finally gave a police motive for her crimes. Her decades plus marriage needed saving. In interviews, Kelly said she blamed her husband for Christopher's death and for, quote, taking the only good thing I had in my life, end quote. The Post-Tribune notes that in court records, she said that I still hate him, meaning her husband.
Right.
And yes, it was revenge, i.e. even the score. There was a brief moment before Christopher's death that she had reportedly considered killing her husband instead of her boyfriend, which you said.
Oh, okay.
So she did think about it, but then she was like,
okay.
Which is weird because, like, if he's supposed to be, like, the best thing to ever happen to you, yeah, why kill him?
Yeah,
why
would you go along with it in the first place?
Mm. And then she ended up killing them both, waiting exactly 16 months to kill her husband.
That's a long time.
I know it is. So in Indiana, Kelly has been charged with the death of her husband. In Michigan, she faces charges related to Christopher's death, including homicide, assisting her husband to mutilate, deface, remove, or carry away a portion of a dead body.
Oof.
Yes. And concealing the death of an individual. Kelly pleaded not guilty to all charges. While she initially claimed that she wanted to defend herself, she eventually relented and asked for assistance from a public defender. While Kelly is charged with two murders, Iron County prosecuting attorney Melissa Powell thinks there may be more bodies in Kelly's past.
Oh.
According to her court filings, Kelly has claimed responsibility for the deaths of other individuals, which, if true, make her a serial killer.
Mm. Are these other boyfriends?
I don't know. They don't say, like, what she says, who they are. But, like, if there's people missing from her past, I mean, it won't be hard to find out.
It wouldn't. The only thing that makes me maybe cast a little bit of doubt on that, you know when you go back to the thing and they questioned her for 70 hours?
Ah, yes.
Could you say that the police pressured her?
Maybe.
So, I mean, she doesn't sound like a very good person, but I suppose there is also the option of could she have been a bit over questioned, maybe a bit harsh.
I think so.
So maybe that's because it seems a bit odd, if especially if she's been with that guy. You know, if she even her husband, she hadn't met him that long ago, and the fact she's been with him since school, that would insinuate she's had to have. Well, depending on who it is she's supposed to have killed, if it's other men, then she must have had several affairs.
Yeah, and especially if like Christopher wasn't the first one. Maybe her husband would have like maybe not mentioned it to someone, but like maybe there'll be some kind of evidence.
Yeah, and also how many times you let your wife have an affair?
While it's unclear what other deaths Kelly may have been talking about, Powell appears to be taking the statement seriously enough to question Kelly's mental health. Before Melissa Powell can launch an investigation into Kelly's claims, she has to prove that Kelly is competent. The judge, Joseph Schwedler, agreed and has ordered a forensic examination of Kelly to determine both mental competency and criminal responsibility. Right. So they are looking into it. So according to Powell's filings, Kelly has a long history of mental illness, including a voluntary admission to a psychiatric hospital in Indiana and suicidal tendencies. Kelly has apparently written her family goodbye letters and threatened to commit suicide while incarcerated, as well as threatened bodily harm against any persons who she may have contact with while she's incinerated, incarcerated. So yeah,
it does sound like she might actually have a few problems beforehand. I'm not saying that condones what she's done.
No, I don't think so.
But especially when you look at when she was first arrested, her behaviour, that doesn't necessarily sound like a sound of mind person, does it?
And also, looking at, she seemed fine when they were getting away with the murder of him.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? Because is that a case of mentally she was just not in a good place, but like she was okay, like she could appear normal. You know, like she has like good and bad days. Did it just so happen that was a good day?
I don't know.
When they spoke to her?
I don't know. It's from what I read, it was like she appeared fine. He was the one who was a bit more like, oh.
Yeah. But you also think as well, obviously, if they're moved to an area, I know he was supposed to be taking the drugs to help with back, but is she also doing drugs for, like, recreational use? Because you said as well,
I believe
she's not very young and she took it a bit too far. You know, like, overused drugs.
Yeah, she definitely looks like a good decade, maybe 15 years older than what she actually is.
Yeah, so I do wonder if there's drug abuse in with that, which would also impair her mental state.
Maybe. Her mugshot, she does look a bit crazy, is the way I could describe it.
It's hard because you don't know how many of them are trying to go for it for a defence.
Mm.
And like I said, I'm not saying it condones any of the thing, but if she generally was ill before...
Yeah.
I don't know, is she done these murders when she's in a bit of a dip, you know, like in a bad place? And it doesn't make it right, but is she effectively not thinking as clearly?
Yeah, well, she's not thinking clearly at all. If you're like, you're planning a murder and whilst he's...
Yeah. It's very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wonder if, especially if they end up bringing in the mental instability thing, will that whole 70 hours of questioning be brought in as a thing for her defence?
Yeah, because it sounds like a lot.
That does sound really extreme to me.
I don't think it was like all in one go, obviously, because I don't think that's...
it's repeated over a short period of time. You know when you look back at cases in like the 80s, and now like they've got people off because it was like sort of, it was seen as harsh questioning. Oh yeah, no, she definitely looks like she's on drugs.
Yeah, no, the mugshot scared me. I was just like, okay, she does look like a murderer.
But you know what I mean? Like, back in the 80s, there was that whole thing of, like, people have been questioned too harshly.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe that's an angle her defence would go in, especially if they prove that she's mentally unstable as well. Could, from a defence point of view, could that be something that they roll with?
Yeah.
That she was over-questioned and she was already mentally unstable. Because it's hard as well when they say, oh, she seemed fine on the day. Was she genuinely fine on the day? Or is that just the police? You know, when you look at some of these... It's really hard, especially when you do things like look at documentaries, because the police are like, obviously say things very different to the family and friends. But you know, in other cases where the police go, they were fine, and then they seemed bad a few hours later, like they were fine when they first came in. And the family going, no, they weren't mentally capable before they even went in. It's like, well, who do you believe? Was it the police just trying to get a case?
Mm-hmm.
And the police officer generally didn't notice?
Mm.
Or were they aware and they just continued to question them anyway?
Yeah.
Regardless, do you know what I mean?
So they hone in on their suspect, yeah. I've just found the thing where it's like she may have served him at a barbecue, but it's from the Daily Mail. So this is probably why I don't think. So apparently she may have killed 9 others, according to the Daily Mail. But yeah.
Is it random people?
I don't know. I don't really want to like read the article. This is why it didn't come up when I was looking, because I was looking at like proper sources, not Daily Mail. Let's see.
What, like our Daily Mail in the UK? How do we pick that story up?
We just get stories from America. Yeah, it doesn't.
No,
even,
I know,
like...
you get ones when it's like major serial killers.
Yeah, they've basically just taken what the news I found and then like spun it. So like you click on the headline. So no, I don't think she served him up at a barbecue. Yeah.
Although that would be one way to get rid of him.
Maybe. But yes. If you were thinking about killing your husband because Christopher is the best thing to ever happen to you, why kill him?
Yeah, and also why have you been with him for that long? You can clearly attract other people. She's managed to do it to kill Christopher off, so... Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
It is very strange.
It was a good case. I enjoyed that one.
I thought you might.
But I don't really know what else we can say about that, to be honest.
Maybe don't have an affair and then don't kill anyone?
Yeah, definitely don't kill the person that you said you're madly in love with. And then even if you do decide to do that, definitely then don't kill your husband afterwards.
Yeah, just separate.
Yeah, it makes you look quite suspicious. Yeah, and don't run away either, because that makes you look suspicious as well. Yeah. Just be like, no, I was just on holiday.
I like how you're giving advice of like how to get away with murder. I'm like, just separate.
I'm just saying, when you watch all these documentaries mm-hmm. and they're going to do certain things, I'm just like, well, have you done that? It's obviously going to give you up.
Yep.
So don't do it that way. I think, like, I'm not saying I could get away with murder, but I know now definitely what not to do.
Yes. On that note.
On that note.
Keep creeping.
We'll keep digging. holes for the bodies we've killed.